Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and at the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. The number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, on tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to be doing a special Good Friday teaching edition, and we certainly encourage our listeners to tune in tomorrow for that very moving broadcast as we really take a look at the death of Jesus Christ and exactly what that means to us, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and what he ushered in through his finished work. And today, We want to talk about the resurrection, but we really want to put all the pieces of the gospel story together, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's one single verse in the New Testament that does that for us, and it is Romans chapter 5, verse 10. This is one of those signature verses. This is one of those verses that as you're reading through the passage of Romans 5, it just stops you dead in your tracks, and it should. It's that important. And in this passage, we read this: "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." So there's the cross. There's the death of Jesus Christ. What did the death of Jesus Christ do? Well, it cleared the deck. It removed the obstacles. It reconciled us to God. And we see this message of reconciliation in several places in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 1. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. So we were enemies, as it said, when this took place. We were in rebellion toward God. And yet God so loved that he sent Jesus to reconcile us unto himself, to remove the barrier, to remove the obstacle, so that salvation, eternal life, could be given. And then he goes on to say, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So Jesus Christ laid down his life in death and then picked it back up again in resurrection. And it's through this resurrected life that we are saved, that we are made alive together with Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ does several things. It gives proof. It validates his claims to be the Son of God. We read earlier in the book of Romans how this power of resurrection put the stamp on Jesus that he is indeed the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He's that guy. Yeah. And so whatever he said has been validated. The fact he claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. This resurrection validates that statement and gives it the seal of truth. He is the only way to God. And then it's this resurrection that also enables the divine act of salvation to take place, and that's the giving of life. You and I were dead spiritually. We were separated from the life of God. God removed the barrier, sin, in his death, so that he could give to us his very life, the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. So what does the resurrection mean to you? It means life. It means the solution to your deepest problem. All of us go through life, and at some point or another, we recognize there's something wrong at the depths of who we are. Many people have described it as a feeling of emptiness, as a hole in the heart, and everything that they try to fill it up just leaves them empty. It doesn't work. And what is that hole in our hearts? It's the fact that we're dead. It's the fact that we do not have the life of God in us. And that's how God designed us to be. That's what it means to be a complete human, is to be alive in Jesus and to have Jesus alive in you. That's what the resurrection means to you. It means you are now alive in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is alive in you. So this is a powerful verse that puts the pieces of the gospel story together and shows you the benefit to you. Forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, life everlasting. Mm-hmm. Folks, that's why they call it good news.
And that is good news. Thanks, Bob. And friends, thanks for being with us today for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you'd like to come in and be a part of it, we have open lines for you right now. 844-322-2742. If it's about 6 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live and an opportunity to call and speak directly with us right now. 844-322-2742. And as we often say here at Basic Gospel, our hope is that what you hear every day on this program is making a difference in the way you walk through life every day. And hope it motivate you to help us move this message forward. We pray that you will help with a gift today, and especially at this time of Easter. We encourage you to go to basicgospel.net, click donate at the top of the page, and as you give this month, we're going to send you a wonderful resource. It's called Proof, the Resurrection. Help us get the message out, friends, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of Proof, the Resurrection.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines and start in O'Fallon, Missouri, with our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Well, I tell you what, you guys stole all my thunder. Bob Davis, okay? But I just wanted to call today, and I'm kind of breathless about it, but I want y'all to have a happy resurrection celebration weekend. But I owe so much to Basic Gospel, Andrew Farley, and all the feeding and nurturing and encouragement and everything I get from you guys and your devotion to Jesus. And I just can't exhort and encourage you guys enough. I mean, it's almost beyond my words as to what you all mean to me. And I will tell you this, that God sees you as A-okay.
Well,
and me as A-okay. But you know what? I'm saying that because God sees you this way, God lives in me and is walking in me, and he's using my blind eyes to see what he sees, and therefore I see you as A-okay. Okay?
That's what the love of Christ does. It enables us to see each other as God sees us. And boy, relationships change when that happens, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. And, I mean, I'm writing some stuff, and I'm going to send it to y'all because I think you'll get a big a big lift out of it. But thank you, Basic Gospel. And I can't encourage people who are hearing for the thousandth time or the first time. This is, you want to be nurtured, you want to get growing in grace and knowing God, this is the place right now.
Well, Brad, thanks so much.
It's such a huge difference in my life, and I just so much appreciate it, because what you spoke, Bob, in your introduction, brother, I know it works like that. I absolutely do. And I just love you guys and appreciate you, and I'm going to let y'all go, and you can just have a great weekend, because I love y'all. Dearly.
Well, Brad, happy Resurrection Day to you.
Thank you,
he is alive. That is the greatest news that's ever been given to man, and boy, we get to celebrate it and enjoy his life forever.
Yeah.
And that's what we call hope.
Brad's been a friend for a long, long time, and Brad, we love you dearly, my brother. 844-322-2742. Lines available right now. Come on in. Be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. 844-322-2742. Want to hear from you right now. We had this call that came in off hours.
Good afternoon. Jeannie from Edmonton calling. I have a question for you. It's a stickler. It's about the holy anointing oil that only the high priest could use. And we were wondering, is it allowed to use that for New Testament times? Would it be a sin, or would it be wrong to make it and use it? You know, you don't want to make it a common thing, just whatever, for anybody. But, you know, I have that question. Thanks so much. Love your program. God bless. Bye.
Well, Jeannie, thanks for calling and asking that question. Oil in the Bible really is representative of something, and actually representative of someone, the Holy Spirit. And we see way back in the book of Exodus, Exodus 30, that God gave Moses some specific instructions for a special anointing oil. And there was all kinds of ingredients. It was some type of concoction. And they were to use that oil to sanctify, to set apart the priest for their work of service. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? He sanctifies us. He sets us apart for our purpose as children of God, to be used by God to reflect His glory out into the world. So as the writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, the law is a shadow. So when we see these things in the law, we know they're pointing forward to a reality that we're going to experience through faith in Jesus Christ. And oil represents the Holy Spirit, and so this is pointing us forward to the anointing that we have received. And John writes about that in his first letter. It says we've all been given the anointing, and therefore we have no need for someone to teach us. Why? Because we have the teacher inside of us. So this is a reference or pointing us forward to what you and I experience right now as a reality, and that's the Holy Spirit living inside of us to guide us into all truth, to strengthen us in our inner being so that we, along with all the saints, can grasp how long and high and wide and deep is the love of God, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, to have an understanding of Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Jesus and makes them known unto us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And in so doing, He sets us apart. We've been sanctified. We've been made holy. And He is that sanctifying agent for each and every one of us. So we all stand today as priests, don't we? We're part of a royal priesthood representing the goodness of God's grace and mercy and love out there into the world, and then taking the praises from out there in the world and giving them back to Jesus.
Yeah.
So we've been anointed by the Holy Spirit to do that very thing. So, Richard, any thoughts on that?
I love that in verse 32 of Exodus 30, it says, this oil shall not be poured on the body of an ordinary person, and you shall make no other like it in composition. I mean, this is serious stuff.
Yes.
And here's the picture. The Holy Spirit had not been given yet. It came upon people as God willed it, but it wasn't generally available, especially for just the common folk. This was very special stuff. Well, why did Jesus say it's good for you that I go away? Because when we accept Jesus and become a child of God, the holy anointing of the Holy Spirit isn't just given to ordinary people.
Right.
It's given to children of God.
Yes.
That's us.
Yes.
And we get to share it.
Absolutely.
Jeannie, thank you for your question from Canada. And Guy, speaking of Canada, from Waterford, Ontario, Darlene wrote to us. She said, someone tried to tell me that we can stand in the gap for others, that we can take all their sins upon us and ask God to forgive them and send His Holy Spirit to them. This doesn't make sense to me. I intercede for others on their behalf and ask God to forgive them, but never take their sins upon myself. What's your take on this?
Well, it doesn't make sense to me either.
No.
I mean, we can't stand in the gap. We can't take someone's sins away from them and put them on us. The Bible says that we're all going to stand in judgment, and we're all going to have to give an account. So that's everyone individually. But here's the good news. Jesus did stand in the gap for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So our job as believers in Christ, as those who have received His life, who have received His forgiveness, our job is simply to point people to Him and to tell them the good news that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not counting men's sins against them. That means you. God isn't counting your sins against you. Why? Because Jesus took your sins and yes. he offered his blood as the sacrifice, as the payment. And now he wants to give you life. So that's how we do that. We simply point people to Jesus. We tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. So no, we can't bear the sins of others. We can't take the punishment they deserve upon ourselves. Yeah. Otherwise, we would be eternally dead.
Yeah.
But Jesus, he knew no sin. So he could offer himself as the spotless Lamb of God. And God the Father escorted him through death, through burial, and then raised him back to life. And that is the guarantee of our salvation. Mm-hmm. So point people to Jesus and tell the story. Tell the story yeah. of his death, burial, and resurrection, and invite them to join this good news story by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yeah. There simply is no gap to stand in.
No,
right, exactly.
None.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Darlene,
absolutely.
Hope that's a help to you. And friends, it's Basic Gospel. And you know, in this Easter season, we want to say thank you to our loyal supporters with a CD called Proof the Resurrection. And for those who are skeptical, there is an explanation for his resurrection that leaves no doubt the evidence is there for anyone who cares to look for it. In fact, we're going to be glad to point you to it. It's all there in our CD called Proof the Resurrection. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for your April gift during this Thanksgiving season. I'm sorry, this Easter season, for to be specific. And you just can click donate at basicgospel.net, and your copy of Proof, the Resurrection, will be on the way to you. Again, that's basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Morgan is watching this on YouTube and has had this question for a couple of days, so we're finally getting to it. So, Morgan, thank you so much for your patience. But it has to do with this. Can God reject his people? Can we lose salvation? Can we lose faith? What do we say about that? And I think the gospel answers very clearly that Jesus took away our sins. So the only thing that could cause us to die spiritually is sin. And Jesus took all of our sins away. He bled and died. He stood in our place. He took the punishment that we justly deserved. Every last ounce of it. He died. And he was buried. And he ushered in a brand new covenant. And in this covenant, God remembers our sins no more. The sacrifice was made. God the Father accepted that sacrifice as sufficient for all sin. And so when we come to him by faith, we receive that forgiveness, and God remembers our sins no more. Then he sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. Now, he would have never done that. He would have never sent his Spirit to take up residence in us if he had not first taken away our sin,
correct,
dealt with our sin. So the fact that God's Spirit lives in us is proof positive that our sins have been taken away, that we are forgiven people. And because that's true, because we've been cleansed, because we have been washed, because we have been set apart or sanctified, made holy by the blood of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is going to be with us forever.
Yeah.
And that's why in the book of Hebrews, we read this great statement in Hebrews 13, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never reject us. Why? Because we're his. He has purchased us. And in this new covenant, he says, you are now my people and I am now your God. That's just a statement of declaration, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just truth. So you're going to sin as a believer, but God's already dealt with that. He's already condemned it. He already placed it upon Jesus. Jesus died for it. So punishment has been mm-hmm. meted out. So there's none coming to you. So rejoice in that. Rest in that. Thank God for the finished work of Jesus. And then just allow his life to flow through you as a river of life, sharing the goodness of his love, grace, and mercy with others. So, no, you can't lose salvation. God will never reject you in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Bob, I believe you have another social media question.
We do. Mm-hmm. And this is from Marlon. Marlon wrote this to us yesterday as he was watching. And he said, can you provide some clarity on 1 Timothy 2:12? And we can give it a shot.
It's famous.
Yes, it is famous. It's a very confusing passage, but here's what the passage reads. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. And that's just one verse in a whole section that is talking about women, about Adam, about Eve, and all of these various things. Now, there are many denominations out there that use this verse to support their hierarchy within the church. It's men dominated. So men as elders, men as deacons, men as pastors. Women have other roles, but they cannot fill those various roles. I think this passage really is a passage clothed in the culture of the day, that it's speaking to something that was happening back in that particular time. And this letter was written to Timothy. Timothy was in Ephesus, so it has something to do with what was happening in Ephesus during that time. Now, what was happening in Ephesus when Paul went there was a female cult. They had a temple. It was one of the seven wonders of the world. Yep. It was the temple of Diana or the temple of Artemis.
Yes.
And if you look in Acts, I think it's chapter 17, they're having this riot, and they stood, all the people, all the citizens stood there yelling, great is Artemis, great is Artemis, great is Artemis. And it just shows that their whole life, the entirety of their lives, centered on this temple. People made little statues mm-hmm. of Artemis, and they sold it, and that was their livelihood. And that's why when Paul came in and said, no, this Artemis means nothing, Jesus Christ is the one, they got all bent out of shape and rioted and wanted to actually kill Paul. Why? Because their financial livelihood was being threatened. But it was a female-only cult. Females were in the lead.
Yes.
They dominated. And they needed to be, after they came to Christ, they needed some time to study and to really start understanding this gospel message. And so he's saying, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority. And that word authority, I think this is the only place it's used in the New Testament. It means to dominate, to be overbearing. Yeah. And that's what was happening.
Like an autocrat.
That's right. That's what was happening in that female cult. And so a lot of them were just giving way to these female leaders to take control. And Paul is saying, no, that's not gonna be good for the church at that particular time. So he's saying, I want you to learn quietly in the leisure, like Mary had invaded the male space mm-hmm. in Bethany and was at the foot of Jesus learning as the men were. He's saying, I want the women to do that. I want them to learn at the foot of some teaching that's going to make a difference in their lives. So that's what this passage is talking about as far as I can see it and put all those pieces together.
Well, friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. And, you know, this Easter month, we want to say thank you to our loyal donors by sending you a copy of our CD called Proof the Resurrection. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and we hope you'll join us today. Again, donate at basicgospel.net, and be sure to request your copy of Proof the Resurrection. If you have a question or a concern later today or tonight, call 844-322-2742 and leave a message for us. We'd love to hear from you. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for a Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.